Pastor Mike Fritcher and the Cottonwood family would like to welcome you to Living on Every Word.
Worship and sing a song of praise. Come into His house of joy sustained. Living on Every Word.
How does the presence of God keep us from stumbling? I know that when I was in my dad's presence, my behavior changed. And folks, it's the same way with God. And my challenge to you is just to go from this place saying, God, I just want to manifest your presence in my life. I want your presence all over me. Folks, it'll change everything about you because you know the presence of God, it protects me and guards me from these things we're talking about.
Living on every word.
Living on every word.
We're in John chapter 17, and we are studying the prayer of Christ, this great intercessory prayer that He prayed for you and for me, for His disciples, for all that would come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. He offered this prayer up to you. Two principles that I want us to think about for just a moment. The first principle as I look at this passage of Scripture and of all the benefits and of all the things that God prayed is that we have a God who loves to give good gifts to His children. Did you hear that? He is a great Father who loves to give good gifts to His children. Scripture says, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask Him? Second thing is that I thought about this week is that God desires not only to give you good gifts, but He desires to give you the whole kingdom. How's that? The whole kingdom. He said, my little flock, my desire, my joy, everything that's in me, the Father has chosen gladly to give you this kingdom. And when I look at these principles that He will pray, beginning in verse 11, for the disciples and for you, when He prays that we might be kept or preserved, when He prays in 13 for the joy to be made full, when He prays that we be protected from the enemy in verse 15 and sanctified in the truth in verse 17, in verse 18 He'll pray that we would make advancement on the world as a sent out people. When we look at the oneness and the unity that He desires to give to you in your life with your marriage and with your church and with your home, these are the benefits of the kingdom of God that He's praying for you. And by the way, is still praying. Question is are we going to line up our lives and our desires to what the kingdom of God is, or are we going to continue to live in our own kingdom, thinking that the benefits of this world are better than the benefits of the kingdom? And we chase after this world, we chase after these things, and we always come up short. We always come up short. What I want to suggest to you in this prayer, that as He has prayed in verse 1, that the Father might be glorified in the Son, that folks, when He comes to verse 11, He begins to pray the benefits of the kingdom. He comes to pray the principles of the kingdom of God that wants to rule and reign in your life, in my life. Worldly blessings or spiritual blessings? Would you rather have? So you can gain the whole world and lose your whole soul. Many people doing that today. Gaining the whole world. Got money, got things, got stuff, got houses, got their cars, got their boat. They got everything they ever need, everything they dream. You know what? They're still not happy. They're losing their soul. They're losing the very soul of their lives. Christ the advocate, acquainted with all of our ways. Christ the intercessor, who knows what we need before we even ask. And He begins to ask the Father, Lord, this is what I'm praying for my body. This is what I'm praying for the church. This is what I'm praying for the disciples. This is what I desire to see you do. And notice what He says in verse 11. He says, listen, Father, I am no more in the world. And yet they themselves are in the world. And I'm coming to you, Holy Father. And I'm asking you, keep them in your name. The name which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are. Notice what He says. Father, I'm getting ready to leave this world. No longer will Christ in the flesh perform miracles anymore. In the flesh. He's going to be with the Father. He's going to intercede for us night and day, continuously. So listen, I'm no longer in the world. He said, while I was in the world, verse 12, I was keeping them in your name, which you've given me, and I guarded them, and not one of them perished, but the son of perdition, that's Judas, that the scripture might be fulfilled. He said, Lord, while I was with them, I was guarding them, I was keeping them. I was keeping them in your name. Now I'm going away, and I'm asking you, Father, I'm asking you to do this one thing. Keep them, preserve them, guard them in your name. Amen. You could translate that in your name, by your name, through your name. Doesn't matter. says, Lord, take the name of the great God of the universe, the eternal Father, the Prince of Peace, and guard them in that name. The word does mean to guard from loss or from injury by keeping one's eye upon the treasured one. You are a treasured one today, and He guards you, and He protects you, and He preserves you. That's what Scripture teaches here, Lord. He said, Lord, please keep them. We think about watchmen. When we think about guards, security guards, right? Who guard property for other people, who guard lives, you know, bodyguards, babysitters, parents, big brothers and sisters, see. Now, I watch my son and daughter when they were little. I keep my eye on them. When they're at the beach or near a pool, when they're in the kitchen as toddlers, when cooking's going on, I watch them. We guard them. We make sure that they're protected. They don't get into anything that they don't need getting into. And folks, that's exactly what God desires to do for you, to keep you and to guard you. That's what the word means, to guard, to keep watch over. You know, I think about back in the days of youth ministry. John and I just started dating, or had been dating for a couple of years, and I was a junior high youth pastor, and one year we took two van loads of kids, junior high students, to Galveston Beach. It's just John Ann and I, no other sponsor. And I just want you to know, I'd never send my kids without more than two sponsors. Just want you to know that, okay? You've seen the surf in Galveston if you've been there. Muddy, dirty, can't see your feet, you know. And there was a storm or a tropical depression out in the Gulf at that time, so the waves were high. And I can just remember, we're keeping watch over these kids. We're guarding them, and we're going 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. We're counting to 30 every 5-10 minutes. And you think we count and we're relieved. Count, relieved. Sit, we're relieved. We just count it, so we're kind of relaxing for a minute for the next count. And all of a sudden, here come some horses, and they've got some of our kids on these horses. Where did they come from? You know, we're watching. I thought they were in the surf. You know, and just this whole thought of just saying, I'm responsible to preserve these kids while they're in my care. I'm responsible to guard them and to protect them. And oftentimes, folks, we see this thought in our own lives, how short we come up in guarding even our children and watching. It's just like the mother whose three-year-old had a three-year-old and a six-month-old. And that three-year-old daughter loved to hold her little brother by the neck, just like a little puppy. Pick her up all the time, you know, just right there. And she was after her time and time and time. Do not, when you watch her, you do not pick her up. Do not pick your baby sister up. So one day they're sitting, she lays him down on the rug, and she said, now you watch him, you remember, you don't pick him up, pick her up. So she goes in, I can't believe the mother did that, but she went in, kitchen, came back, that baby was clear across the room, clear across. She said, I thought I told you not to pick your baby sister up. I told you not to do that. You're going to be in trouble. She said, Mama, I didn't pick him up. Well, how did she get over there? How did he get over there? I rolled him. You know, sometimes God's got to roll us to get us to where we need to go sometimes, right? When He's watching us and guarding us. The prayer Jesus prays, guard them, protect them. Lord, in Your name, when I think of the name of God, I think of Yahweh, I Am, Jehovah, I Am that I Am. In Exodus chapter 3, don't need to turn there, don't have time to look at that passage, but in Exodus chapter 3, when Moses was being called at the burning bush, he says, Lord, there's just no way that I can do this thing. I can't speak well. I have a speech impediment. You're wanting me to go lead these millions of people out of Egypt. And then, by the way, he says, if You send me, who am I going to tell my brethren who's sending me? What is Your name that I might tell them? And He said, You tell them, I Am that I Am. I am the eternal God. I'm the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. I never change. There's no shadow. There's no shifting in my life. I am the same, and I will be the same in your life. I will never, ever change. I am first. I am last. And what God is saying is, listen, His name represents the very characteristic of who He is. That's what the Hebrews believe. The Hebrews believe that when you named your child, you named them according to the character that you hope that they grow up in, or something that you saw at their birth. The name in Hebrew language, in the Hebrew, meant a whole lot more than it means to us. It describes the very nature of that person. And when God says, My name is I Am, He was describing His nature as eternal. In the Old Testament, there are about 8 compound names using the name Yahweh or Jehovah for the name of God. There's hundreds of names and hundreds of titles. There's 2 that I want us to look at this morning about being kept in His name. One of them is Jehovah Shammah. Jehovah Shammah. Yahweh Shammah. I Am present. I am here. I am there. I am in your life, is what he says. And when I thought about this week about how God keeps us in his name, he keeps me by his presence, by the very nature of his name. He keeps me in his presence. He guards me by that presence. His presence will do many things as we look in Scripture. First of all, his presence will guard you from sadness and depression, worry and fear. When it says in Psalm 16:11, you will make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand there are pleasures forever. Lord, when I was here, I was keeping them in thy name. I was keeping them in the presence and by the presence and through your presence. I was guarding them and watching them by the very nature of who I am and who you are in my life. Lord, I'm asking, Father, as I go from this world and they are still in the world, that you would keep them by your great name. When I think of the great names of God, and I think of Jehovah Shammah, the God that's always there, which means in my life that if he's in me, that he ought to be keeping me and I ought to be walking in agreement with the guarding from this sadness or depression or this worry and fear. Because if I'm in the manifested presence of God, there should be no depression. Is that right? If I'm in the presence of God, there should be no worry and fear in my life. Because I'm consumed with who he is, his nature, his life, his work in my life. Lord, keep them in your name. Guard them in Jehovah Shammah. He'll keep you from that sadness, that depression, that worry, and that fear. We also see from Scripture that his presence will keep us from death. It will keep us from death. Isaiah 63:9 says, in all their affliction he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his mercy he redeemed them, and he lifted them and carried them all the days of old. In the presence of God, he says, you were saved, you were delivered, you were brought out of the pit of destruction, and you were spared death. In his presence will keep you from spiritual defeat. Psalm 44:3 says, for by their own sword they did not possess the land, and their own arm didn't save them, but thy right hand and thy arm and the light of thy presence, for thou didst favor them. And folks, his presence, Jehovah Shammah, will either even keep you from stumbling, from sinning, from failing. When it says in Jude 1:24, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless with great joy. Question, how does the presence of God do that? How does being kept and guarded in the name keep us from sadness and depression, worry and fear? Keeps us from death, spiritual defeat. See, folks, the world is death. The world is spiritually defeated. The world walks in sadness and depression, worry and fear. The world walks in absolute total failure in the areas of their purity and their holiness. How does the presence of God keep us from stumbling? So you think about that for a moment. We talked about the watchful parent a moment ago. I know that when I was in my dad's presence, my behavior changed. Is that right? Unless you didn't respect your daddy. Your behavior changed. I remember this, 5 years old. I mean, one of my earliest memories. Right across the street from where my grandmother lived. She had a couple of rent houses and all the brothers lived in one of the rent houses. And right across the street there was a family. When you're little you think that 5 kids is 100 kids. It seemed like 100 kids used to play in that yard. And I was with my cousin, and one of the things that you don't know about me is that before my dad became a Christian at 27, my dad had me when they were 19, so, you know, for the first number of years of my life, my dad wasn't a believer. And my dad didn't have a nice mouth, and a potty mouth, you know. And a little 5-year-old boy picked that up. And he thought that was big, you know, to say bad things in front of his cousins. And I said to my cousin, Brian, watch this. And I let out a diatribe and a rant to these kids across the street. And my cousin thought it was funny until my dad came right around the corner coming home from work, just walking right down the walkway. I want you to know, my rant stopped when I saw him. His presence caused me to stop. Now, you know what? He didn't wash our mouths out with soap. He used Tabasco sauce, okay? Yeah, that's right. I mean, you take that Tabasco sauce and put that on your tongue. What he didn't know is that I got used to it, and we now think it's a staple and a new food group, you know. But his presence stopped me. And it's the same way with God. God's presence, when you sense the presence of God and you know the presence of God, you stop. It's like my old English teacher, Mrs. Petrie. I mean, you didn't get anything by her. I mean, she was just a stern, hard, a wonderful teacher. But you just, you know, a group of boys. I went to all-boys school. And they'd give teachers fit. But when you got into Miss Petrie's class, and she'd been teaching for 30, 40 years, I want to tell you, in her presence, you didn't mess up. What about that police officer that you see a half a mile away? And what do you do? Whatever you're doing, you might be speeding, you might do it. The first thing that I do, I know, is kind of let up on the gas if I'm speeding or not, right? The presence changes my behavior. The presence does that. And if I don't have my seatbelts on, I put my seatbelt on, and I do the things that I need to be doing when I'm driving because I see the presence. He may be a half a mile away, but he's still in my presence. What about the preacher's presence? I've seen this all the time. I've seen more people try to flick their cigarette and hide their beer when I walk up than I've seen. They change their behavior quickly, you know. They change it, and you know, I love new people not knowing that I'm a pastor. I just love it. I mean, it's the funnest thing. This guy once, I go into this house, and this guy's in there, and I know the one man, I don't know the other, introduces me, and this guy just starts, I mean, filthy mouth. Filthy coming out of his mouth. And so the buddy said, you better watch out, he's pastor. And he said, oh, praise God, I go to church. And I thought, I wonder what church he goes to. So I said, what church do you go to? He said, Cottonwood. Not Cottonwood, Texas. Cottonwood somewhere else. Asked me if I knew his pastor. I mean, he started talking the religious talk. It's amazing how in the presence of somebody you respect or you're supposed to respect from culture, how your behavior will change. And folks, it's the same way with God. When you walk in that manifested presence of God, now God is everywhere. He's everywhere. We know that. But when you are sensing it and when you know it, it protects you and guards you from all these things we've just talked about. It'll keep you from stumbling. And that's what he says. Keep them in your name. Keep them in your presence. Keep them in Jehovah Shammah, the one who is always present in your life. Manifest it. If I can think and walk in such a way that God is truly with me today. And you know, let me ask you, how many believe that God is not with you? There's not a hand that would go up, I would hope. And if there is, there's a great offering for you today that you can know the presence of God completely in your life. But folks, when I wake up in the morning and I think about the presence of God, and I'm walking in that, and I know that He's in me, and I know that He's about me, and I sense Him and I know Him, even by faith, not by sight, it protects me and guards me from these things we're talking about today. That's how it does it. That's how He does it. And my challenge to you, the practical aspect of this message is to go from this place saying, God, I just want to manifest Your presence in my life. I want Your presence all over me. Folks, it'll change your language. It'll change the way you talk to one another. It'll change your motives. It'll change your heart. It'll change everything about you because you know that God is aware in your life. Now, folks, God's not like the policeman. He's not the one who's just ready to strike you dead when you go do something wrong. That's not the kind of watchman we have in God. It's a guarding of the presence of God. Because when I walk in sin, it's not God who gets you. It's the enemy who gets you. You open the doors up for the enemy to come in and to bring all kinds of things that would ravage your life and ravage your marriage. The presence of God, I want to be aware of it because in His presence is the fullness of joy. There's a second aspect of God's name that I want us to look at. Second compound name, kept by Jehovah Jireh, our provider. We are kept not only by His presence and guarded from the things that Scripture speaks of Him guarding us of, but it's also we're kept and guarded and have this preservation in our lives by the provision of God. Jehovah Jireh simply means I am your provider. Go to Genesis chapter 22 if you would. This is where we first see this compound name used. Genesis chapter 22, it's when Abraham offers up Isaac on the altar. A number of weeks ago we looked at Abraham and Isaac in a different context. I want to look at him just in this whole concept of Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. Verse 1, it came about after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, he said, here I am. And he said, take now your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on the mountain of which I tell you. So Abraham, what did he do? He rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, took two of his young men with him, Isaac his son. He split wood for the burnt offering, rose and went to the place of which God told him. On the third day, Abraham raised his eyes and saw the place from a distance. And Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey and I and the lad will go yonder and we will worship and return to you. Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, took in his hand the fire and the knife. And so the two of them walked on together. And Isaac spoke to Abraham his father, and he said, "My father." He said, "Here I am, my son." He said, "Behold, the fire, and here's the wood. But where's the lamb for the burnt offering?" And Abraham said, "God will provide for himself the lamb." God will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. So the two of them walked together. They came about to the place which God had told him, verse 9, and Abraham built the altar there, arranged the wood, bound his son Isaac, and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." And he said, "Don't stretch out your hand against the lad and do nothing to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you've not withheld your son, your only son, from me." And Abraham raised his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him, a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went, he took the ram, and he offered him up as a burnt offering in place of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. Watch. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord, in the presence of God, where God dwells in His life, in His church, in His people, it will always be provided. Whatever you need, when you are kept in Jehovah Jireh, when you are guarded in Jehovah Jireh, it just simply means that He is pouring out His provision, giving you everything you need to be kept, to be preserved, to live the life, to walk the walk, to even talk the talk. It is Jehovah Jireh, our provider. He gives you everything you need. He provides for you His Word, which works its work in you to sanctify you and to wash you and to cleanse you. His Word will keep you. The provision of His Word will keep you from sin. He says in Psalm 119:11, "The Word I've treasured in my heart, that I may not sin against Thee." It's the provision of the Spirit that keeps us in His will. That the Spirit of Christ, He says, will be the paraclete, the helper, called alongside to help you, to lead you and to guide you and to direct you. And then my friends, He will give you the provision of His peace that will keep you from turmoil, and that Scripture says will truly guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Turn to Philippians chapter 4, if you would. Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6. Familiar verse, but this is the provision of God. This is how you receive the provision of God. The peace of God, the Scripture says, is something that will guard your heart. It will keep your heart. This is the word we're looking at. Keep us in your name, Jehovah Jireh. Provide for us everything we need. You know, if you think about it just a moment, when you think about all the people in your life, you think about your husband and your wife, you think about your sons and your daughters, your grandchildren, wouldn't this be just a great prayer just to pray every day as God gives you prompting? God, would you keep them in your name? Lord, would you just protect them in your name? Would you guard them in your name? Lord, would you guard them in Jehovah Shammah? Would you guard them in Jehovah Jireh? Would you provide everything? Because you see, folks, initially when we think of Jehovah Jireh, we think of the provision of money, clothes, shelter, pay the bills, get out of debt, right? I mean, how often is that? And all along God's saying, listen, I want to provide for you spiritually. Yeah, I'm going to provide the physical needs for you. I told you never to worry about that. That's done. But I want to provide for you everything you need to walk this walk out. And folks, every one of us in this place need peace. Every one of us has gone through something this week where we have cried out for the peace of God, the provision of His peace. I want you to notice how you get that peace. First of all, in verse 4, you rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I'll say rejoice. I can't tell you how many times that I've walked with people in the last 3 weeks who have gone through some really hard times. And I'm seeing this. This is what I'm just asking people to do. I'm just asking people, would you thank God for it? Thank God for it. Why would I thank God for it? This is horrible what we're going through. This is hard what we're going through. But the Bible says rejoice always. The Bible says in everything give thanks. I'm telling you what I'm seeing. I'm seeing people say, okay, I'll do that. They start thanking God. And you know, it just comes out of their lips. God, thank you for this situation. Now, you know, every fiber in our flesh says, why in the world would you do that? And every fiber in my spirit says, because God says so. It's God's way. It's God's way of bringing the peace of God into your life. And we're just thanking God. We're saying, God, you know, where are you in this? Lord, we just know you're in the middle of it. So we're going to thank you. We're going to rejoice always. What are you teaching us through this? What are you showing through us? Lord, we're just going to thank you. Folks, you know, I've seen people say this, and I'm seeing life change. I'm seeing life change. Why? It's because suddenly I'm putting my eyes on my great God, who I have much to be thankful for, instead of the situation I'm going through. Folks, that's not to belittle your situation. Some of you are going through some really, really rough times. And sometimes I got to say, God, you know what? I don't feel like thanking you. I don't know. It's so hard for me to say thank you. But I'm going to thank you. And I'm going to trust you. I'm going to place this at your hand. Maybe that's what God wants to bring you to the point of right now. Maybe there has been an ungrateful heart. Maybe there has been no thankfulness coming out. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And then he says this. He says, let your forbearing spirit be known to all men. Folks, rejoicing doesn't mean you do a flip in the end zone. It just means, God, I'm thanking you for these circumstances because I know you hold tomorrow, as we saw. Let your forbearing spirit be known to all men. Let people know that you're struggling. Let people know that you're hurting. Get to a local group so that you might be able to rejoice together and to allow your forbearing spirit to be known. And then he says something wonderful. The Lord is near. The Lord is at hand. I'm going to tell you, I know there's some of you here need to hear that. That the Lord is near, He is at hand. And then He says, now, you've rejoiced, you've shared it, you know that I'm near. Now, be anxious for nothing. Pray about it. Supplicate about it. Thank God about it. Let your requests be made known to God. And you know what will happen? The peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your heart. There's our word. Guard and protect your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. Do you want peace today? Peace in your marriage, peace in your circumstances, peace in your illness, peace in whatever you're going through. You can have it because it's Jehovah Jireh. He'll provide the peace that you need in this moment. Would you bow with me in prayer right now? I was keeping them in your name. On the water, on the Sea of Galilee, Jesus would say, do not be afraid, it is I. Hush, be still. He kept them in His name. He provided the miracle. He provided the peace. He provided the life. He provided exactly what they needed. Now He's at the right hand of God today, interceding for you and me. He is Jehovah Shammah. He is Jehovah Jireh. It's by that name that He keeps us and preserves us. He keeps us from stumbling. He keeps us from death, from spiritual defeat. My prayer for you today, my prayer for me, is that I just acknowledge that today. Folks, we've been worried and bothered about so many things. There's really only one thing necessary. It's Him. Would you allow the presence of God to find you today? Would you allow the provision of God to meet you right where your need is? And if this, and somehow God is speaking to your heart, I'm asking you to come to just kneel at this altar and just to give up whatever you need to give up. Maybe you might say, you know what? I've never thanked God for this. I don't know how to do that because in my flesh, I just tell you, I'm crying out right now. Mike, I'm hurting and I'm struggling. How can I ever say thank you, God, for this? And I'm just saying, you know what? You can't unless it's by the power of the Spirit. There's peace. There's peace for us today. The provision of God to be kept in His name. Lord, I thank you so much for the wonderful presence that you provide and the wonderful provision. God, I ask in Jesus' name that we might be a people truly kept in your name. Not only kept in the palm of your hand, but kept in your name. Lord, the name Jehovah Shammah, I am present. Jireh, I am provider. Shalom, I am your peace. Sigdeinu, I am your righteousness. Mekadesh, I am your sanctifier. I am your banner. I am your shepherd. I am your healer. Father, I pray that you'd come, that you'd reveal to us the manifested presence of God, the very names, your very names, Lord, that we might walk in agreement, that we might embrace it by faith, that we might be kept in your name.
Cottonwood is located 3 miles east of Dublin on Highway 6. For more information on the ministries of Cottonwood or to obtain a copy of today's message, please call us at 254-445-2929, or you can visit us on the web at www.cottonwoodtx.com.